Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekend with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, that's right. It's Fender Bender o'clock. It's a Saturday afternoon and we are here at the Joy Studios to talk about cars. Mike and Jeremy, thank you for being here.
Thanks
as always.
For having
and
me.
A little bit exciting
this
today, guys.
This is a little bit exciting.
We have a new member of the Fender Bender team. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dan.
Hello. I am exciting. I'd have to say I am very excited.
He's all about our diversity initiative. We're getting some international people in.
It's true.
Everyone needs a token POM, I've found.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And you are quite POM-y.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I've been working on it for 32 years now.
Not typically.
No.
But
no.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I've been quite excited to have Dan along.
You have been, haven't you? Yes, absolutely.
Quite moist at the thought.
Wow.
This is lovely.
It
is hot in here.
It is warm. Did you think you'd get that kind of response?
I was hoping so, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I've been
absolutely.
Working on that.
Yeah, good.
It's lovely to be here.
Oh, good. Well, we're very happy to have you, and we'll be talking about your background a little bit later on. And
not in too much depth, I hope.
Well, look, we've done a background check, and
I came all this way to get away from that. You know, this is my reason for moving to Australia, and you've tracked
exactly.
It all down and outed me.
Look, we've got some questions, let's be honest. No, not at all. We'll be using your background for a bit of a segment a bit later, talking about the British automotive industry.
From the motherland.
The motherland, indeed.
Mm.
So a bit of that going on, and we're also going to talk about some other things.
And hugs to you, Tim. You sound a bit nasally today.
I have been nasally. I've been nasally all week, but I'm feeling much better now, and I've turned a different age this week, so I'm feeling...
You didn't.
Worse and better at the same time.
Did you really?
I did. I'm 86 now.
You don't look a day over 90.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Love you, Tim. Happy birthday.
God. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's all good. Let's move on from my oldness. But yeah, we're going to talk about a few things. We've got a bit of a game a bit later on. We're going to talk about what kind of car each of us are.
Mm.
And we want to know what kind of car you are at home.
Well, at least what you think you are.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And let's just hope it's not a Camry. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
there will be Camrys out there.
There will be.
If anyone thinks they're a Camry, they've got low self-esteem. They should get help, frankly.
That's true. I actually think I worked with a lot of people who were Camrys in the government. There are a lot of
not
people.
In the government.
I know.
Surely
who would have
not.
Thought?
A fleet of them.
We've got a big show coming up. You are listening to Fender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Fender Bender, which is all about the cars and the like. Mm. And we've got lots of car-y things coming up today, don't we? Oh, my God. In fact, I think we're talking about something called a Mirage.
Ooh.
It's not an illusion.
Mirage.
It's actually a real car.
Yes. Now, what's the go with this new Mirage?
Well, everyone knows the Mitsubishi Mirage, I'm assuming. It was in the late 90s. It was a Mitsubishi small, compact car, and every girl you ever knew between the age of 18 and 20 drove one.
Blonde.
That's so true.
Mm. Every single time you see one, it has a P-plate firmly stuck in the rear
window.
Well, Mitsubishi's dusted off the badge and they've re-released the car, only they've taken a slightly different approach with this one. See, they wanted to make a car that would suit developing markets like India and China, but that would also suit developed markets like Australia. And so they've kind of made a car that straddles the two. So it's cheap and nasty for us and extravagant for developing markets. Kind of means
not
the car's
good for anyone.
A little bit ordinary. It's going to compete against the Nissan Micra and the Suzuki Alto. Very bargain basement car, right at the bottom of the pecking order. We actually, our organisation went over and drove it in, where was it?
Bangers.
Bangkok during the week.
Yeah.
Yes, where it's produced. And it's getting pretty ordinary reviews, frankly.
Yeah.
Underpowered. And
from you?
Boring and bland. And it looks like it was made in 1987.
I think in generally, I think everyone's just shocked that they're coming up with this new model that's going to be a global kind of car. And they've really gone low tech.
Super low tech. And everyone else is making their light cars so much better, more efficient, more technological.
Has it got Bluetooth?
It probably will. But it's just a bland
There's a place for low-tech cars, but I'm not sure they should have done it with this one.
Mm.
Well, you know, what would you say would be the place for low-tech cars?
Developing countries. Mm. You know, places that need cars but can't afford them.
Yeah.
So
totally.
You know, make unsensational cars, and that in itself can be a brilliant marketing stunt. Yeah. You know, you can put cars out there and you could be seen to be doing a noble thing.
Yep.
And then you can sell fantastically expensive ones to the rest of the world.
To that I say, show us your Tata Nano.
Well, lucky there's no
webcam.
That
is actually a reference to a car.
It was.
But it does. The wider thing here is, you know, what's happened to Mitsubishi? You know, they had some amazing cars, even at the lower end, you know, your Lancer Coupe and your Mirage, but then your Evos, and it was an exciting brand, and it was kind of a quirky outsider brand, and now it's just every car they're coming out with is so, to me, very drab and disappointing, and I'm really quite concerned about them as a company.
But they have done something exciting, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah,
they said they have.
This wonderful... I mean, so I personally think that one of the greatest races in the world is the Pikes Peak Hill Climb in Colorado.
Oh!
And Mitsubishi are sending an electric car up Pikes Peak.
Yes.
Now, this is not a new thing, but the way in which they're doing it, I think, is relatively interesting and new.
It is. I mean, the IMEV electric car is one that we all here know, and a lot of you listening probably do. If you don't, go and look it up. It's called IMEV. Mm. It's a tiny little electric car, a pioneering car that Mitsubishi, well, they were the first car maker in Australia to introduce this thing, but it's not exactly a sports car or a race car. It's kind of a prototype more than anything else, but they've actually developed a race car based on the MEV, which I would have thought would be absolutely impossible.
Well, this, you look at this. Have you seen, Jeremy, the IMEV? It's the little bubble. It looks like a tiny, small bubble.
I don't think I have. That's why I'm staring blankly at the window.
That's what I was wondering. I thought either that or you're wasted. No, I'm kidding.
You never really know with Jeremy.
Well, this is it.
On the nod.
No. No, but obviously, like, government bought a few IMEVs because they're quite expensive.
Sure, but this car
is... Oh, my God, what is that?
This car is hilarious because it's not so... It's let's face it, it's not really recognisable as an IMEV. The IMEV is a tiny, skinny little thing, and what they've done is they've put this body and they've widened it by about 100% with these incredible giant fenders and huge spoilers and wacky
body kits.
Oh, you
can still see the old car in the middle.
But you can see the old car just hiding there in the middle.
That needs to go on the
We will absolutely be putting it on the
Fazbear. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, but it does kind of restore my faith in Mitsubishi that they're at least still ballsy enough to do something kind of exciting.
Precisely.
Like this. Oh.
And I predict it's going to do quite well because many of the technical and engineering issues that make it hard to drive a car at Pikes Peak are to do with air pressure and the way an internal combustion engine works, which, of course, that doesn't have one. It's got three electric motors, I think. It has two on the back and one on the front. So all of the issues caused by, or most of the issues caused by thin air with cooling, with the density of the air going into an internal combustion engine, boiling of brake fluid, you can use regenerative braking on electric motors. Potentially, an electric car could go up the hill faster than a petrol or diesel.
And what a boil over that would be.
That's pretty exciting, actually. And then there's obviously going to be more of this, you know, performance sports cars, Tesla.
This is the way things are going.
I never thought I'd be getting excited about an electric car. I can't believe I just said that.
Electric cars are where it's at, because this is where all the development's going.
Yeah.
This is the kind of the beginning. You know, we're back at square one again, and everything's happening from this point. It's a very exciting time.
And I'm with you there, Dan, because I was a bit anti. I was a bit, you know, slow on the uptake with this, but I'm all for it.
Once you drive a Nissan Leaf, you'll be converted to electric cars.
I love them. Really? I love them.
When you buy an electric car, do they give you a CD of some car sounds to play when you're driving around? Because that is, at the moment, that's the only big problem. It is.
And you know,
what they're going to have to do is, obviously, you can't. If you made an electric car sound like a petrol, it would just be silly. So what they're going to have to do is make a new electric car sound that sounds good. You know, like
you
a super jar of wine or something. You know?
Who here remembers the Jetsons? Remember the Jetsons spaceships? Type of noise. That's the noise that an electric car needs to make.
I don't know
why that hasn't happened before.
And Rosie should be driving it.
You did that noise again. You did it perfect.
Practice makes perfect.
I love it. That's
and that great. Hand gesture too, obviously.
You guys can't
totally
see that. The new George Jetson.
I'm all about hand gestures, aren't I? But look, we can't dwell on electric cars forever, can we? There is one other thing that I really want to talk about, or should we do it afterwards?
We'll just do it in a very, very short little break.
All right.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
Now, I did interrupt you early, Mike. I'm sorry. You were going to bring something else up.
He's forgotten it now.
I was. It's totally gone out of my head now. I'm too busy thinking about the Jetsons.
Aren't we all?
There was a really exciting thing that happened this week, and I really feel like this is one of the most interesting things that's come out in a long, long time. Mm. Mazda and Alfa Romeo have come to an agreement on something. Two companies that you wouldn't traditionally expect to ally with one another have. The next MX-5, the fourth generation Mazda MX-5, is due in 2014. Of course, this is a legendary car. One of the was the biggest selling roadster ever. And one thing it's renowned for is the rear-wheel drive chassis is one of the best handling cars that money can buy, full stop.
Right.
Alfa Romeo no longer have a convertible. They no longer sell a Spider in any form, and they really want to. So the two companies have come together, and they've decided they're going to share a chassis and a platform. Mazda's going to develop a rear-wheel drive chassis, and they're going to sell it to Alfa Romeo, who are going to put their own body, their own engine, and their own transmission in it, and make an entirely separate car.
That
pretty exciting.
Such a brilliant combination.
Mm. Yeah.
It will be great. There's no two ways about it. It will be great.
Don't speak too soon.
I think it would have been an interesting
like when
meeting.
Attractive people have children and they're not that attractive.
It couldn't be one of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope not. Oh. But look, you would think that they would do this well. Surely.
They will. And it's kind of, I don't want to be too cynical about it, but Mazda, while it's doing very well in Australia, doesn't really do too well anywhere else. And they've just developed all this new Skyactiv stuff and they're pretty much broke. They've got no money, and they've decided to sell a lot of their things to other companies. And this is one example of that. And this is a way they see themselves kind of digging their way out of a financial issue. But it's awesome because you're going to get the joy of a Mazda chassis with the style of an Alfa body, you know, an Italian styling, and probably with a Spider badge, which is one of the most legendary badges of all time.
And it will be reliable, and it'll probably be efficient, and it'll be safe. And
it ticks so many boxes. It's a bit
like... Which are not words you'd normally use with an Alfa Romeo?
No.
Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not suggesting anything at all. I'm only predicting an excellent car.
Yeah. Well, is it kind of going to be like that whole, what is it, the Subaru and the Toyota, the 86, and is it BRZ?
Yeah, that little real kind of coupe. Similar, only those two cars look basically identical.
Yeah.
These two cars won't. They will look completely different, but underneath they'll be the same.
Okay.
And it's going to be Mazda stuff underneath, so it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not going to break.
Exciting, guys.
And it's going to handle like a dream, and it's going to look like an Italian supercar, and it's going to be relatively affordable. Really, I don't see how this could go wrong. And
That's it.
But can you imagine a $50,000 Alfa convertible called a Spider that drives amazingly?
Wonderful. Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to buy one.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
That doesn't break down. Maybe. Maybe.
Although I do imagine the Italian heads of Fiat and Alfa Romeo meeting with the Japanese heads of Mazda over a big table. Interesting meeting.
Yeah, it would be an interesting meeting. Yeah. Imagine the food. Hand rolls. Bolognese hand rolls.
Yeah. Hey, look, I lived in Japan and I had bolognese over there. It was not amazing.
Oh.
They're very good at the sushi.
But
the
Italians are so sort of forward and flamboyant. The Japanese are so reserved and proper. Man, to be a fly on the wall in those developments.
Be awkward.
And they haven't collaborated before. This is the first time.
No, never.
Because Mazda have hooked up with Ford and a bunch of people.
Mazda hauls itself around, let's
really
be honest.
Do.
But, you know, it's got a bit of, it's into the Italian thing now. It's
aren't we all?
We've all gone through that phase.
It's true. It's true. Well, very, very interesting developments there. It's all
it
happening.
Is.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, we are joined by a new member, of course, Dan. We welcome you.
Thank you.
And you are from another country, as we can tell by your accent. I can barely understand
it's
a word you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, what's your motoring background? When did you start getting interested in the cars?
I can't remember actually exactly when. I think it was so young. I think it was more machines. I just love taking things apart, as most sort of kids do, young lads, and then it sort of grew into, you know, a love of the internal combustion engine, and that sort of, once I was old enough to drive, that manifested itself in just having to own really nice cars and then crash a lot of them as well. I have to say that I feel, you know, I can fill a sort of void in this room because there's some great collective knowledge and experience in here, but really I represent, you know, good at crashing. So if you know,
it's a niche that needs feeling.
There is. I mean, you know, everyone's heard about how it drives, and you know, no one wants to know that anymore. I'm basically a walking crash
test.
How
does it crash?
Awesome.
So if people want to know, I'm the man.
I
am. Yeah, that's right. I'm basically a walking NCAP on legs.
many? Like more than...
There's been a few.
Wow.
But anyway, proper crashes, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Not always my car either, so...
I was wondering why you only had one arm.
That's right. Yeah. And this funny twitch as well. I think that's all part of it. Anyway, I found my way into the motor industry and I was a mechanic for 10 years.
Wow.
And
hideous job.
Yeah, well, it's good in many ways. I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, it allowed close contact with cars, which I love. And then when I eventually became bored of the black fingernails and twirling spanners, I promised myself I'd stay close to cars in any way I could, and that's why I write a little about them these days.
So. Yeah.
And then here I am on a radio show talking about cars, which is great because most of the time people try and shut me up about them, and now someone's asked me to talk as freely and openly as I can.
Aren't you lucky? No. And I mean, you are being listened to by literally tens of people.
slow down. Right? Don't overstate the show.
I'm not sure, actually. Where's that counter? Yes, we've just gone over. 11.
We're doing well. Well, no, it's very exciting to have you here, and it's always good to have a new voice.
And I think the question is, what car are you, Dan?
Me? I wouldn't know, actually. I was thinking a little bit about what you... I was going to say I've done all of you, but might be taken out of context.
Not yet. Look,
there is an initiation at this station.
Oh, great. I look forward to it. It sounds excellent. I'm not sure what car I'd be. It would probably be Rusty. Yes, it would
really
be Rusty. It would have a certain charm about it. It would have character, but not desperately sort of well-kept.
I wonder if you'd be an early 90s Jaguar.
Oh, thank you. That's a compliment indeed, I think. Hang on, they break down.
Oh.
Well, I have my fair share of breakdowns, so...
Yeah, all right.
I could possibly be British.
Well, you absolutely could be.
Or Italian.
You have a World War II jet fighter moustache going at the moment, so you've got that British look.
It's frightening, isn't it?
Mm. I think it's almost like we need to put that on the Facebook page as well.
if the listeners could just imagine me stroking my moustache now, saying... Yeah. And I'm looking at Mike, saying, thanks for letting me watch...
Oh, that's creepy. That is creepy.
That's good, but you do it too well.
And I don't want you to feel insecure about my massive bushy beard that's sitting right in front of you. Just don't feel bad.
It's distracting.
No.
Yeah, look, this
it
is
intimidating,
thing.
Tim.
We've all got strengths. But we'll be coming back to that, I think. We're all going to be talking about what kind of cars we are a little bit later in the show, if you know what I mean. Oh,
that was... Where did that
sorry, that was hideous.
Wow, you do a really good Indian accent.
I'll have you know, I was an actor once.
No, that was all right. That was pretty convincing.
Oh, that was acting.
Yeah. I was actress.
I'm a pirate.
Okay, I don't know what's happening here.
Where are we going?
You are listening to Fender Bender, and we've got a lot more Fender Bender coming up just around the corner.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. It's an overcast grey Saturday here in Melbourne, so hopefully you're listening from somewhere that's much nicer.
We're brightening the place up, aren't we?
I think so. Is this kind of English weather?
Yeah, it's actually worryingly like English weather. I came all this way to get away from that, and it
shouldn't have moved
me
to Melbourne.
I was
going
to say, mate, you came to the wrong place.
No, it's all right. It doesn't last long, hopefully.
Well, this is the thing. I guess with London, it's like months at a time.
Precisely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, somebody just said, a friend of mine used to describe Sydney as London with sun.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think there are similarities to Sydney to London, I think.
And everyone's always in a real hurry.
Yeah, that's right. I don't like either city very much.
And they've got attitude.
Well, this is it. Absolutely. Anyway, so yes, here we are on Fender Bender talking about things. That's what we do. Now, we wanted to have a bit of a chat, of course, now that Dan's with us. You know, there's a motoring industry in the United Kingdom. A big one.
Big-ish.
Or medium-sized.
Yeah. Very legendary, though.
Well, this is the thing.
A lot of baggage.
There's a lot of marks that we've seen for you know, I don't know how many years. Possibly could have done some research on that. But look, Rolls-Royce.
One of the earliest.
Yeah.
And, of course, the interesting thing Bentley. About all these brands is they're all owned by foreign companies now.
Who owns Rolls now?
BMW.
So who owns Bentley?
Yeah.
Volkswagen.
Really? Yeah. Is they really?
It's hard to keep up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, of course, Jaguar is owned by Tata, the Indian company.
Not Ford anymore, yeah.
Tata. Vauxhall is owned by General Motors.
What about Range Rover?
Range Rover is also owned by Tata.
Tata, yep.
Is it? Mm. Oh, because they shared stuff with Jag. But weren't they owned by Ford at some stage
Ford
as well?
Ford kind of split them all up. But sort of the only real companies that remain British-owned, British-based, are these really niche sort of sports car makers like Caterham or Morgan. Very small, very niche. Sports car makers are kind of what Britain still does. But Britain does manufacture cars, and there are a lot of cars that are unique to that market.
Another one, sorry, I just thought of Mini.
Yeah, and the Minis.
Oh, yeah,
in
of
Oxford,
course.
Yeah.
But that's in Oxford.
But that's BMW, right?
BMW-owned. But still, I think very wise of them to keep making it there because you know, people believe it's still
the Mini
British
is
car.
British, isn't it?
Yeah,
and what put the damn flag on the roof.
Are you a fan of British cars? Like, would that be your first choice?
The ones that Mike's talking about, the low volume little sort of boutique sports cars, absolutely. They do them so well, yeah. And until quite recently, you know, there was a company called TVR, which is now, I think, owned by a Russian.
Crazy Russian. Although there aren't any other sorts of Russians.
Wow.
So true.
So we get the Russian car driver.
I am a fan of it. Yeah, but I think the ones, like, they used to be a car company called Rover. Does anyone remember that?
Oh, dear.
And they were terrible.
And do you know what's become of Rover? It's quite hilarious.
Please tell me. I'm intrigued.
A Chinese company bought them, but BMW kept the right to the name Rover.
That's right.
So the Chinese company now calls it Roa.
Which is
because they couldn't call it Rover.
It's true.
So it's called Roa with a W.
And it's spelt some... It's the spelling's quite unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, R-O-E-W-E.
That's it.
Who also own MG, another legendary British car maker. And how this comes back to Australia is MG is almost certain to emerge in Australia in the next few years as a Chinese-owned company. We've come full circle.
I know, right? What will they do?
You did well with that.
Who is not confused right now?
I know. And I love the fashion that goes with British cars too.
Yeah?
Just imagine, you know, that little soft top off the MG...
Which you can't ever use because the weather's terrible.
Of course. You know, the hat and the cardigan or the wind cheater tied around the neck.
Scarf.
Amazing. Love it.
See, I like the 60s kind of with the Mini, that kind of look, like, you know, mod.
Old Britannia. That's what it's all about.
It's amazing. Oh.
But the funny thing about British cars for me is the coolness of them is kind of counterbalanced by their horrible reliability issues. They rust, they leak oil, they break down like you wouldn't believe. But that kind of is their charm.
I was going to say.
No matter.
It is. And actually what we were talking about earlier, what got me into the motor industry is my first car was a British car. And it, as you quite rightly say, went wrong all the time. Things fell off, stuff leaked out of it. It was... If on paper, it would be a terrible car, but I loved it. And what it made me do is learn more about cars, because if I couldn't fix it myself, then I wouldn't have a car. So that's one of the many ways I got into it, was because of the inherent diabolical reliability issues. Wow.
I have a big soft spot.
What was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a Java Green 1976 Triumph Spitfire 1500.
Triumph Spitfire!
Oh, wow.
It was a lovely little car. I crashed that one as well.
Well, I think we're going to have a whole show dedicated to your
But
accents.
I fixed it. Oh. Well, some people fixed it, and I had limited involvement in that.
You were there, though.
I was still the owner.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. I've got a big soft spot for British.
Yeah. Oh,
you do?
I wonder why it seems so close.
Cars.
Oh, my God. Okay. What about a British man in
Love
a British
it.
Car?
Love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
I'm all over the accent.
Oh, look out, Dan.
Me and Dan, we're quite clear about our boundaries.
That's good.
Yes, we've laid it all out. No. Oh, that could be an innuendo as well.
Well, it is. Most things on this show are. Mm.
And just as we start speaking about British, look at the weather.
She's
just turned.
She's
sorry about that. That's my fault.
That is nasty business.
I brought that. It found me.
It did. Now, there's a company over there, obviously, Vauxhall, which is part of General Motors. Now, in Australia, Holden is kind of technically the Vauxhall of Australia. There's sometimes a bit of a bogan kind of fan base with a company like Holden or Ford in this country. I know. I've said it. I've gone out there and said it. What kind of people buy a Vauxhall in England?
It's a tricky one to answer because there isn't the entity of a bogan the UK. And I've had this conversation with people. What would the alternative be? What's the parallel? Mm. What is the English bogan? And there isn't.
What about Chav?
It's different. It's different.
It is
Chav
different.
Is sort of, yeah. I mean, like, this is a topic for an entire show in itself. But because you don't have the same character type, then you're never going to get the same sort of drivers and the followers of that brand. It's certainly an equivalent. Vauxhall, I would say, is certainly the equivalent. You know, it's a very available car. It's very affordable. There's billions of them around.
Yeah.
Ford is exactly the same. There is Ford, and they represent that half of the market. I would say, I don't know, Mike would probably correct me on this, Ford and Vauxhall are probably the two greatest number of cars on roads in Britain.
And Volkswagen, those three, top.
Interesting.
Yep.
So it's impossible to answer, but there is certainly a Vauxhall driver. There is that person.
Okay.
I don't know whether... It's not... I think Australians generally like cars a bit more and find it easier to sort of become passionate about Holden, whereas because it's, you know, it's a big car, it's got a big engine, it's rear wheel drive, it's not easier to like that. Whereas if you look at a Vauxhall, big engine rear wheel drive cars don't exist in the UK so much because fuel efficiency, petrol is double the price there what it is here, and also trying to insure a huge six-cylinder rear wheel drive car is a nightmare. And that's one of I find it absolutely fascinating here, that you can become a new driver, pass your license, and buy a real drive six-cylinder car, 4 litre, you know, no problem at all. Drive that as your first car. If you tried to do that in the UK, you rang up your insurance company and said, I'd like to insure a real drive six-cylinder, 4 litre car, they would take down your address, not to give you a quote. They do that so they could come around to your house, knock on your door and laugh in your face. Because absolutely, and people talk about, you know, I don't want to get into road safety issues here, but people talk about, you know, how to stop people killing themselves on the road here. Yeah. Stop new drivers driving real drive 4 litre cars. Yeah. It's madness.
That they don't know how to handle. Well, there are restrictions here, but I think that was, they went through, I don't know if they've changed that, but big restrictions on with depending on the size of an engine, but also with some of those twin turbo, like the WRXs and stuff like that a few years ago.
It was a system designed by people who knew nothing about cars. So what they did is they said, if you're a first driver, you can't have a V8 and you can't have a turbo. Unless it's a diesel, in which case you can have a turbo. Yeah. What it means is a bunch of tiny city cars like a Volkswagen Polo that has a turbo engine has to have a special exemption to be driven, but as Dan's saying, a 4 litre straight six Falcon that will basically go sideways at the drop of a hat is totally cool.
Yeah.
Or a Honda S2000, which has an naturally aspirated engine, totally cool. But a turbocharged Golf with 77 kilowatt that couldn't get sideways if you tried, no, can't have that. It was a stupid system. The British one, I believe, is based on power to weight, which is so much smarter and more sensible.
Absolutely.
Mm. And this is a real thorn in the side of a lot of people here that we don't have that.
Yeah. They've just done the same with bikes, but they've put the engine capacity up.
What do you mean?
That is absurd.
You can have 600s now, can't you?
Before it was like 260 cc's was the max.
For an L
learner, later. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mind you can get your learners quite easily and go and hop on a bike and be out in traffic, you know, it's insane. But now they're saying that you can go up to 650. It is a bit, there is exempt bikes, like race bikes, but any motorbike that's got an engine of that size still is incredibly fast.
That's bizarre, isn't it? Anyway, there is a whole other kind of show with that, I think. Let's be honest, and maybe we'll do that down the track. Now, with, you know, the English cars, are you happy with the direction they've gone? And you look at the Jaguars now, they don't look anything like, you know, that iconic XJ kind of design, which just kept going for years and years and years. What do you think about that?
I think there's certainly some interesting things going on. I think that Jaguar are a little guilty of perhaps sort of following trends. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking that generally the look of a car is sort of coming together as sort of one, you know, that we're going to end up with, you know, with the restrictions on the way a car has to behave when it hits a pedestrian.
Yeah.
You can't have knobbly bits and sort of nice sharp lines and things anymore. So that limits, and all these restrictions, and you know, all the car manufacturers have to adhere to the same rules. And in the end, that's going to end up basically meaning that they do all look the same.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for you to find a way around that. And so for all the interesting styling techniques that Jaguar are employing at the moment, they still have to play to the rules, and that's affecting the, and it's sad. It's really sad.
Really? Yeah.
I think so. It doesn't really do it for me. Sorry. That makes me unpatriotic, but I don't care because I've left the UK.
Well, exactly. You've said no to that country. I love the look of the new Jags. I don't think they look anything like a Jaguar. I think they look like generic modern car number 78.
Yeah.
I think they look fabulous.
It's a pleasant looking thing, but I think Jaguar need to be a bit more than that. They need to be not pleasant. They need to be gorgeous.
I believe they've got some like quite Jaguar-esque quirks in the new models. I can't remember what they were, but they've incorporated a few things that were
like
quite
a 4-star safety rating.
Really? Oh, claws are out, guys.
The XJ has a 4-star safety rating, and the Kia Sportage has a 5-star safety rating.
How
that's amazing!
Wow.
What Jaguar needs is more velour. We all know it's
true. My God.
Whatever happened to velour? Velour roofs, velour seats, suede on the floors. That's what Jaguar needs.
Heaven.
My God.
You can get around pedestrian safety if you have that sort of stuff. Why not have a velour bonnet? Protect the pedestrians.
Love it.
It does add a lot to the car. That's very, very true. And would you say you have a particular, like favourite British car of all time? Or?
Oh, that's putting me on the spot. Jensen Interceptor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Me on that.
What a car. I don't even know what that car is.
As Jeremy Clarkson famously said, you know, you'd buy it just so you could say, let's take the Interceptor to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Greatest car name ever.
It is pretty good. Cool, it just reminds me, though, of what a police car.
Yeah.
Like a police Interceptor. That's all I think.
Yeah, the Commodore's.
The Mad Max Interceptor.
What's a Jensen Interceptor do?
You must Google it.
I will Google it.
It's got a fantastically huge engine, which was quite unlike British cars.
And a super light body that looks amazing.
Yep.
Mm.
Kind of, it's a real dream car, that one.
And lots of famous people drove them. And And they were just a little bit unusual.
Bit fabulous.
You know, I mean,
I could have said,
you know, Aston Martin or.
Yeah, well, but that's another one. Oh, yeah.
Who's seen the Morgan three wheeler?
No.
Morgan have got a car called the three-wheeler, and it has a giant engine on the front, stuck to the front, completely naked, not covered at all, just an open engine, and it's got one wheel at the back and two at the front.
I don't trust
it. This is new, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be the coolest car I've ever seen in my life.
I cannot trust something with three wheels. I won't be a part
of it. You're thinking of the Reliant Robin Mr. Bean, aren't you?
Yeah. A little bit. As soon as you think of that car.
What is it with British companies making three-wheel cars?
I don't know. They've got to stop. Guys.
Yeah, but really.
Do you guys, Jeremy and Mike, any particular iconic British car that you're like, oh, I would absolutely have one of those?
I think it's, straight off, it would be a Range Rover. Like, that I just love them.
She likes the four-wheel drive.
Love them.
Original? Yeah.
What's that?
The old two-door, the original.
Yeah, well, that's why I had
one
of those.
That funny sort of duck blue.
No, I had red. Mine was red. But I thought Range Rover is straight off the bat is the first one. But, yeah. You know, like, yeah, the Rolls and the Bentley, they're extravagant, like...
You can see him in a Vogue now going and picking up the kids from school.
Oh, totally.
Easily, I'd be a stay-at-home mum all day long.
You'd have that, you'd have an ML Mercedes. You'd have a series of, like, you love SUV, don't you?
Yoga mat tucked under arm.
Yeah, totally. He's wearing a twin set in pearls right now.
One of those lumbar support pillows.
Oh, my God. Mike, what about you? Is there anything you've got, like, the total horn for?
Aston Martin DB5.
Oh, hang on.
DB5?
You just stole my one.
Yeah, the DB5.
Is that from, like, the
60s? That was Sean Connery's Bond car, the first Bond car.
Well, I like the most current one, the DB9. Sorry.
Amazingly
I think
good-looking
car. The best-looking car.
I think they are, but again, I think them and Jaguars kind of all look a bit the same now.
I don't care.
Oh, my God. You're poo-pooing my opinion. I'm going to say a Mini.
Original Mini Cooper S, like Michael Caine drove in the Italian
Job. Of course. You can't say you like cars and not like that's true.
We've got a lot more coming up on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Fender Bender. We've had some lovely people texting in and giving us a bit of feedback, and we love to hear from you. First of all, we've heard from Anastasia, who says, I have a hard-on listening to Jeremy. So...
You know what? I'm pretty chuffed with that.
Are you?
I love Anastasia, but being able to give a girl a hard-on...
That really does.
Being a gay boy, I think that's a pretty...
Does it happen often?
Oh, apparently...
Really?
Wow.
Good work.
It's in the text.
It's right there. And some other people have texted in as well.
I've got one here from someone without a name, which is really strange, actually. I mean, that must cause real problems in life.
Social Security, how would that
work?
That's
a minefield, really. But whoever this person is, it seems that because they don't have a name, I don't know what sex they are. So that's also going to be a problem.
One imagines they like sex, though.
But despite all these crippling issues they have, they are a fan of TVR. And they say, so glad to hear TVR get a mention. Any segment on British cars without them getting a look in would be sacrilege. Some of the best sounding cars ever. I totally agree. Shame we don't get them here.
Definitely the best sounding cars. Rover, like Range Rover, you know, the Rover V8s and Triumph. Ridiculous. They sound amazing.
Incredible.
My old boss was a lunatic British millionaire, and he actually brought over a couple of TVR Chimeras. Three in his garage. He had three because they all used to break, and he had to have one working, one, the other two were broken. And he let me drive it once, and it was one of the funnest things I've ever driven in my life.
What was it called, a TVR? What?
Chimera.
That sounds like a drag name.
Well, it's a Welsh dragon name. Horrible car in every way, but awesome at the same time. Because it sounded amazing.
You can't help but love them.
Yeah.
And if you have anything other than a brand new set of tyres on the back, you have to drive them everywhere in reverse. Because they're impossible to get.
And they still go 200 k's an hour in reverse. So
we've also had a text in from Chris, who, thanks for the feedback, it says, I'm listening and the only thing I know about cars is where to put the petrol nozzle. I don't know.
Thank you, Chris.
If that's really an innuendo, but that's great and he's enjoying the show.
Oh, bless.
Hopefully we're teaching you more.
Exactly.
Petrol nozzle.
That's
things.
It. Sometimes
from our bountiful wisdom.
Exactly. Now, we talked before, Jeremy, you brought up briefly, what kind of car a person is.
Yeah, and
can a person be a car?
We touched on it, but we haven't locked it in yet.
You're always touching on it.
Touch it on the eye.
Gross.
I'm going to throw it out there, Mike, because I know you've got one ready to throw straight back at me. And I don't think I'm being silly in saying this, but I have I have vibes of a Kombi. I think you're a Kombi, Volkswagen.
Wow.
That's quite a compliment.
I think it is.
Is it because I'm commodious?
You know, you're just a people person for the people. Ah, you know, but it's what I
see more as a Nissan Irv. Nissan Irv.
Oh, that was offensive.
That was offensive. Insulting. Unacceptable.
A Kombi.
I like that.
I do like that.
Yeah. I'd be accepting of that. And you have one for Jeremy.
Oh, he's clearly a 1987 black Trans Am with gold leaf on the bonnet.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to be that. Absolutely. I particularly, there's not like, you know, I'm not over the moon about the car, but Mike, you showed me a photo of it, which we should put up somewhere for people to see, and I think it's fair. It's got some decals on it, you know.
Jeremy is a gregarious guy with lots of tattoos, and you know, he's a kind of...
He likes to go fast.
He's
hard.
Lean, bit sporty, and heavily decorated, I think. which is, I don't know which one I was talking about, the car or him. Yeah. I don't know, then.
So, I thank you, Mike. I think it's the nicest thing you've said to me. All year round.
God. I know. Compliments only sparingly come from me. And a Kombi. That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
I've thought about this. I've been thinking about you. And, and
you've changed.
I think... I don't know. I'm interested to hear how you take this. I think 8 Series BMW.
8 Series BMW?
Yes. And the reason is because he's a very tall gentleman. He's quite striking in his appearance. He dresses well. On initial meeting, slightly intimidating. Unnerving, imposing. But... when you spend a little time, actually very pleasant and quite acceptable.
Yeah.
And that is, again, 8 Series BMW or Mike.
I feel such nice things being said about.
Yeah, you have got.
I've been working on
things.
This imposing demeanour for so long, and it's working.
It's good.
Working.
Does the trick.
Well, 8 Series BMW, pretty rare kind of car.
Were they the sporty ones from the late 80s, early 90s? That
super
only lasted?
Long, super big V12.
Pop-up lights.
Wedge.
Yeah. I loved them.
No 80s sports car could be complete without pop-up.
And now it's time. There's three of us, Mike, myself and Dan, sitting on one side of the desk, and we're all looking at Tim now.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
I don't think I'm a car of any kind.
Really?
I don't know. Why? What do you think I would be?
I haven't been able to put my finger on it, Tim.
Oh, that's the really first time you've said that.
I'd already thought about this one as well, but now you've said Kombi. I was going to say split-screen camper for you.
A what?
Split-screen camper. Now, that's not a pun on the word camp.
Oh, my God. Ah, let the...
Wow, a camper.
Happy with that one? It's again.
I'm not sure yet.
practical, but then also there's a desirability about it at the same time, without being too showy.
Okay,
and you are a bit camp.
A bit. Well, that wasn't intentional. That was unfortunate.
Come on.
No, I think you're a Nissan Juke.
Yes. Because hang on, which one? Which one?
The GDR one.
Okay, right. You saved it.
There's a connection there because you know you're a bit quirky, a bit oddball, but there's the Japanese influence because you lived in Japan for quite a while.
This is good, yeah.
And it's extremely popular and well loved all around the world.
Look at the car, guys.
No, and it has a beard. You, of course, not the car.
It could have a beard. The car could have a beard. I'm very happy with that. I will accept all of these.
You could be an Opel.
An Opel.
Opel.
An Opel.
Why?
Because Opels are found in...
Australia.
Clams, am I right?
Even
if they were, what does that have to do with
it? A pearl. I've lost the plot. Don't worry.
All right.
You have. But I
saw where you were going with it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And have we given Dan...
Let's move on from that one.
My guess for Dan was like one of those really... The kind of slightly... I don't know why I'm saying this. A little bit boxier, but in a really good way. The designs of the Jaguars from the early 90s.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, right.
That Daimler. There was one that was a Daimler.
Yeah, I know
remember
the one
those?
You mean.
With that beautiful purple, that really deep purple. I don't know why.
I'm going
deep
with Paul.
Dan.
I'm going to go...
Yeah,
on.
Deep purple Dan.
Oh, I like it.
I'm going to
walk out of here feeling different after that.
I think Porsche.
Dan. Jeremy, stop it. Thank you.
No, I really do. I think Porsche.
Yep. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Which one?
Just not a Porsche Cayenne. Just not
absolutely
a Porsche.
Absolutely not.
Okay, yeah, that would be terrible.
I know you want me to say Cayman, but it's not that.
Oh, right. I don't mind. Which one? Which one then? Have I got a whale tail?
No,
what's that?
And this is
four-door thing?
Panamera.
That's it.
Not that.
Not that.
Thank
this
you.
This is like a group therapy session.
I know.
It is. There's a lot of love
validating each other
we've
with
given,
comparing
yeah, we've given
to
a
cars.
Bit of love, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's a bit alarming.
But you know, listening, you should play the same game. Think what your friends, partners, family, what kind of
exactly.
car would there be? Because it can
why?
Tell you a lot about a person.
It's very true. And you should go to our Facebook page and tell us. Facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy.
Or send us, you know, a headshot and we can decide what kind of car
yeah,
you
we'll
are.
Yeah, we'll tell
exactly.
you.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I know. Don't feel like we're going to be creepy.
But we might be.
But we might not.
In fact, we probably will be. Let's be realistic about it.
I think we've even got an email address, fenderbender@joy.org.au. Shoot us an email.
Headshots only.
Yeah.
And don't expect us to be quite as kind as we have on each other.
It's not Grindr.
Because if you're not in the room, then we don't... There's no risk.
That's true. And it's certainly... Yes, it's not Grindr. It's not a dating service, but we'll see how
except
we go.
Except unless it's Jeremy.
Grindr is not totally a dating service, Tim.
Yeah. Well,
please.
I wouldn't know.
Talking is optional.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard.
Now, guys, Anita has phoned in. We don't have time to get to her query today, but Anita, I know, because we did get an email from you during the week, and I promise we will get back to you next week. She's looking for a car to buy, and next week, we're going to help her.
Yeah. If you can hang on one more week.
One more week, Anita, if you can. We are absolutely going to help
you. Keep your cash in your pockets.
I promise, absolutely, without a question.
Has it been an hour already?
It has. It has.
Let's just carry on. Who's on next? I don't care.
We can take him. We can take him.
There's four of us.
We might have to let it go. We might
This is a marathon.
What are they going
to
do?
Right about now. Big,
I can't
apologies.
Wait for this song.
Guys, Dan, Mike and Jeremy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Tim.
We really appreciate it. Next week, massive show. Because it's...
huge.
What's it called? Radiothon.
So huge we had to underline it.
It's massive. So please listen in next week. It's going to be massive. We're going to have lots of fun, lots of guests, and it's going to be crazy shizzle. Thanks again, boys. You're listening to Fender Bender.
Good to be heard.
We love you lots. Stay safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.